We're talking about the Dor HaMidbar, the level of betochen and the level of dependency that they had on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we spoke about the 80% of Klal Yisrael that couldn't give themselves over to that. Therefore, they remained in Mitzrayim. So there is a makor somewhere that says that those neshamas are going to be the neshamas that are going to be the Gilgulim just before Mashiach comes. I mean, they were in Nun Te Shari Tuma, Nun Shari Tuma. They were in Nun Shari Tuma, and therefore they couldn't come out of Mitzrayim. I think it's a Maharal, I'm not sure, says that before Mashiach comes, those neshamas will come back, and the generation before Mashiach will be on Nun Shari Tuma, and they'll have to get out. And they'll have to get out of what they couldn't get out then. And that's why the avoider, Tzadik ben Monasri Yechi, the avoider before Mashiach comes, is avoider in Emud and Betochen. It's to rely and be dependent more and more on Hashem as opposed to Koich Ve'etzimoni. That's exactly the battle. Exactly what Yishmael is. Yishmael is in the world to shatter your Koich Ve'etzimoni. There was never an enemy before the Klal Yisrael that you can't beat. There's no way to win a war against Yishmael. Nothing. Can't do anything to beat him. Because he doesn't mind dying.
Yeah.
And if you have an enemy who doesn't mind dying, so then how do you beat him? It's similar if you think about it. You know, the Rabbeinu Yonah brings the famous story about the prisoners. They dug a tunnel out of prison, and they all escaped. And there was one sitting in the prison, and the warder comes and he finds him and he beats him up. So he's using it as a marshal, but the marshal itself is, why is he beating him up? He did the right thing. He didn't escape. Why is he beating him up? With Tetz, the vault is like this. If he's in prison and he can escape, he's not in prison. The other guys have escaped. He's just destroyed the prison. He could have left. Why didn't you leave? Must be you're not in prison. That means he might look like he's in prison, but he's head somewhere else. So the warden beats him up because it's the same as a person who doesn't do tshuva and he has an opportunity to do tshuva. It's because you don't think you have a problem. You don't think you're in prison, so why don't you escape? You can escape and do tshuva, why don't you? That's the Rabbeinu, that's the Moshe of Rabbeinu Yonah. It's the same kind of idea, yeah. Anyway, that's my own, some horrors of my own. Take them or leave them and do what you want with them. Yishmael is there to teach us that you can't. How do you fight against a kite with a Molotov cocktail tied on its end? You got the most sophisticated aeronautical, astrophysic machinery and technology, and these guys are flying kites with Molotov cocktails and burning thousands of acres of fields. How do you stop them? What are you going to do? Shoot it down? That makes a bigger problem. Spray water on it. It's an incredible, incredible thing. The greatest nations of the world being brought to their knees by a bunch of kids with stones and knives. That's what Yishmael's there for. He's there to take away all our hope in our Koich Ve'etzimoni and then turn to Hashem. But Yishmael, he'll cause Hashem to hear our screams. Anyway, that's the vault of those that came out of Mitzrayim. They came out of Mitzrayim. They couldn't come out of Mitzrayim is because they couldn't step into a world of total dependency on Hashem. You have a dependency on certain things, it's very hard to give it up. Very hard to give it up. We know ourselves. There's certain things that we have to have, and if you don't have them or whatever, you can't function. They switch off electricity for 3 hours. You get an email, panic email. The water's being cut off, and so everyone goes into complete panic. And my Boba had running water. How did they manage? You get used to something, you can't live without it. It's the same. The same here in Betochen and Imun. If you start stepping into the world of Betochen, it's a scary place because and that's what Klal Yisrael said to do that, to step into the Midbar with no hope of survival. You can't survive there and be totally dependent on Hashem. No, not everyone can do that. And if you look in your own life, you have these nisoinus, especially if you're a Baal Tshuva. Everyone should be a Baal Tshuva, but especially if you're a Baal Tshuva, there were steps you had to take along the way which were terrifying and still are terrifying. Shabbos, how do you keep Shabbos? How do you keep Shabbos? Yeah, you got a field of potatoes growing out there in the field or whatever, and there's a heat wave, and the guy next to you switches on the sprinklers and he's watering his potatoes. He comes to you and says, "You idiot, you're going to lose your whole year's panosa. What are you doing? Switch on the mamtara." And he's like, "I'm sorry, I can't." That's just the marshal, but you had a business, you had a store, you have to close your store on Shabbos, and 90% of your panasa comes from the store on Shabbos. How do you do that? You know? It's not for sure. A lot of... V'meshech abba im shnei salichem amidbar kosh bochu libedotanu perik behilchus imnuv betochem. So how do we do it, Lamaise? Is because you were taught this. Your genetic makeup is made up of 40 years of deep training. We were in the midbar for 40 years and Hashem taught us about imunim betochem. Perik shalenu lachzov l'shneinu b'kol yom. That's why we started off saying, the person who learns about Parshas Mon, it's a segula for panosa. Why? Because you learn Parshas Mon, you learn that it's all from Hashem. So the person has to go and take that sugya, those 40 years in the midbar, and go learn the sugya. Kedei ledaz shelo hishtana mu'ume be'ikvo yismaaseinu. Nothing's changed. Gam kashe anachnu mishtadim, nothing gets changed by our actions. Gam kashe anachnu mishtadim benyona panosa. Even when we make mishtadlis for panosa, like we mentioned, some of the reasons why you have to make mishtadlis. Ha'yishtadlis eini mu'ile ele mukhreches, in the Loshon of the Chois Ha'olavos. Hishtadlis doesn't help, zilch, nothing. Ele mukhreches, but you have to do it. Panaseinu suna ach v'rach b'yad Hashem. Panos in the hands of Hashem. Gam tachniseinu ha'itidyois b'yad Hashem ha'imak, v'shishem ha'al pi Hashem yichonui, v'al pi Hashem yisoi. Tochnitz or plans and whatever, it's all Hashem. It says in the Pasuk, with Hashem you encamped, and with Hashem you travel. With honor and kavod, you moved, when it stopped. Milvado ein mu'um, there's nothing other than Hashem. That we have to get very clear. And that's a big nisoy. it's not a simple one. Panosa, refuah, all these things, person has to know.
That we need the training. That means we cannot change in one day. That means.
Of course not. But we have to. I have 10 Makairis in the Goyen of Vilna. The Furish Makairis in the Goyen of Vilna. That in the spiritual path, you have to go slowly.
Yeah.
You have to change slowly. If not, you'll macaulay yourself. So you're not changing one day.
But you have to be ready at the right moment. That means if you are not ready, like in
you have Mitzrayim, to prepare. You have to prepare.
Yes, but if you are not ready, and
then you're going to miss the boat.
Yes.
It's new news.
Snooze,
you lose. You've got to be prepared. How do they train these fighter pilots? These jet fighter pilots, how do they train them? They stick them in a machine, in a simulator. And they drill it into them day in and day out. You've got the guy's fast asleep, they stick him in there and he's got whatever, until it becomes automatic. So one day when there's a real crisis, they wake him up at 3 o'clock in the morning, they throw him into an M16 or whatever, the guy knows what he's doing. It's automatic reactions. You can't start training him how to fly a jet, you know, when the war breaks out. You've got to prepare him before. It's the same as when you came to the Pesach Seder. That's when you started preparing the Agada. You have to start preparing the Agada before. When you come to Davin, that's not the time to start learning Siddur. You have to find time to learn Siddur. Preparation is critical. Rav Pinkus used to speak about this a lot. You used to hear about Rav Pinkus all the time. The Ikka void in Yiddishkeit is a chona. He brought a striking illustration. How long does it take to make matzah? Huh? Months. You got to plow. No. Everyone says 18 minutes. You got to plow, you got to plant, you got to harvest, you got to grind, you got to shomer it. It takes a good few months. And then the final process, you're right, is from the time the water hits the flower till the time the matzah comes at 4 minutes. At 4 minutes, the entire. But you're right, 18 minutes. Okay? How long does it take to makam the mitzvah? Preferably not more than 2 minutes. You got up to 9 minutes, go. So I want to understand. The hachana took 6 months, and the actual mitzvah takes 2 minutes. I used to say, that's, you see the importance of hachana. You can't wake up one morning when there's a crisis and suddenly start buying into betochen and imunah. But you'll see, and you'll have experienced this, is it's the crises that we're not prepared for that build the betochen and the imunah. The nisayus that Hashem gives us actually is what grows you. The Baal Betochen you are today is greater than it was a month ago or 5 years ago, not because you had a chilled, easy life. Not because you were lying on a beach somewhere and, you know, with $50 million in the bank. That doesn't grow Betochen. That grows Koich Veitzim Yodi. It's when you had the crisis and things weren't going the way you want them. That's what grows in Munin Betochen. It's those nishainas that you have that brings you closer to Hashem. So it's both. It's a stickle paradox. You have to be prepared, but you can't be prepared. You prepare via the crisis. So it's a shtickle paradox, but that's the way it is.
It's
practice, that's how it works.
Theory, it's also practice.
I'm talking practice.
Yes,
I'm saying
yes.
Only practice. It's the practice that's really what brings out that's what grows us. It's the weights in the gym. You go to the gym and there's weights, it's the biggest problem. But that's what builds muscle. Without the weights, you ain't going anywhere. No, you have to warm up first, otherwise you're going to...
Yeah,
that's... So, if you think about it yourself, these are personal things. Okay. Vesupa balatanya, schusse yogan alayinu, shubhavaynu chomas Napoleon, vatsa Rusi. Napoleon was fighting a war against the Russians. Chutol utsa al shchunas mugorov, ein yaitzi v'ein bo. When we did this last month, I told you I heard this in the name of this story, in the name of Yosef Yonis and Avishites. He's bringing down the name of the Balatanya. Lo Mishane, the story is a story. If you absorb the story properly, you become very irritating, okay? I'll show you why. You become a very irritating individual at home. If you want to irritate people, this story is gewaldic. It's not a story, this. So there was a war, and there was a what they call a curfew. Curfew, you're not allowed to go out, you're not allowed to whatever. There was a. Yeah. Balatanya Shashakur Kulab Avaris Hashem. The Balatanya was involved in Avaris Hashem, Lo Echpatu Napoleon and the Russians. Lo Yaida Mul Malkach. He didn't know about any curfews, whatever. He's living his life. The Yatsilif made Boykum, he basil a mikvil, a basa midrash, the saddle, mudavaisa, kimamimimim. He did what he did every morning. He woke up early in the morning, went to mikvil, went to the basa midrash. He's living his life. Le Pet Aitza Sochail, Vahubiloisa, le basa so. He got caught, he's breaking the curfew. Soldier caught him and took him to the prison there. Hakatzina chokho shelo to Rebbe lana lachta b'shah komu demesh. So the interrogator, whatever, wants to know. They were paranoid. They were about spies and whatever. Where are you going so early? Is Balatani ha'yeshiva lo yido? I don't know. I'm going to the mikvah and I'm going to shul. What do you mean I don't know? B'shel tshuvos ha'muzor ha'ichrit ha'choy ke'kivadeh meragalu. This first stage interrogator, an answer like that, obviously the guy's suspect, he must be a spy or something, sent him upstairs to the more advanced interrogator officer. As this officer, I'm afraid, but raised in the front of Adam Nosukon, and he seems as an intelligent guy, the Balatanya must have looked like something. He tells him. Even Kaila Dvarim Pshutim, understand? This is not a simple. Lechayin Shota Rebbe, Ma Pirush Lo Yodaya. What do you mean Lo Yodaya? What do you mean you don't know where you're going? Ki Adam Chochum Kamoi Chayin Yodaya La'anu Alech. A wise man like you doesn't know where he's going. Hey Shiva Balatanya, Adam Achayin Eini Yodaya La'anu Alech. It's true, a person doesn't know where he's going. I need a time Mechashavti Yekelech Lebeit HaKnesses Liel Moed Lit Palel. I thought I was going to the mikveh and to shul to go and learn and daven. I'm in prison. So he asked me, where am I going? I said, I didn't know, because I really didn't know. You understand how irritating you become when people start asking you silly questions? And you answer them with this principle, it's gewaldic. Where are you going? I don't know. What do you mean? Well, I think I'm going to the Makolet. Do you want anything? When you think you're going to, well, I don't know, I'm going. I don't know where I'm going. It'll be very, very painful to the people around you. But that's what we're saying. You've got plans. You know, we say in Yiddish, Mensch tracht und Gott lacht. My daughter says, if you want to make Hashem laugh, tell him your plans for the day. You know, what they're talking about. We know what's going on. Rak ha'tachnit she'sadeh ribayin olam kishemei al pi Hashem yichonu v'al pi Hashem yosu. Hi amit kakemes. What's going to be mekayem is what Hashem arranged for you today. Once again, this doesn't take away from your bechira. It's not a steer to your bechira bichlal. You have to understand that. Aleli l'moid zoit mipashas amon. And that's what you have to learn from the manna from heaven, the man. Kishem shememeshek abim shana lo daigu b'nei Yisrael les daigas hamacha mikoich b'tchoynes pashem. Same as for 40 years, Klal Yisrael was never worried about what's going to be tomorrow because they had betochen in Hashem. Kamo kein ata kein yudi heinu kegoymul ala imoy. Ketinek she'en yadeh ma'i daiga klal. A little baby who's been fed by his mother. Hasn't he daigas? Hasn't he worries? Rachmil, it's a punishment. Why don't you bring me a b'shalach, a shmois? You stand around in the streets talking to David Fox when you should be in Shia. So then, that's why I phoned you. So then, Magielacha. There's a Rashi in Beshalach, which is kedar to remember. Moedika Rashi. Beshalach. After. Pashas. Moshe tells Aaron, "Kach tzintenes achas, take a little jar, a little whatever you call them, v'ten shama mola oime mon, and put in there. We're learning Pasha Sabon, so this is the Pasha, and put in there an oime, a portion of the mon. V'hanach oise lifnei Hashem l'shmeres l'doyres seichem. Put it lifnei Hashem means in the Aron Hakodesh. Go put it in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan." For a god, the Doros Seichem, for generations. Says Rashi, what's the Doros Seichem? Here's the Rashi. The Doros Seichem, says Rashi, B'mei Yirmiyahu, in the times of Yirmiyahu, pre-Chorban Beis Hamikdash, Kesha Yirmiyahu mochichim lama ein atem oiskim b'Torah. When you're going around and saying the people, Lama Temo Iskim B'Torah, why aren't you learning Torah? But if something this is about to be destroyed, why aren't you learning Torah? It's a pele. Didn't tell them why you're speaking Lashon Hara. Tell them, why aren't you Isek B'Torah? Vein Oimrim. And they said to him, Naniach Melachteinu, V'Nasoit B'Torah, Meichen Nisfanes. We should leave our Melacha, we should close our businesses, and go learn Torah. What are we going to eat? Where are we going to get Panosa from? Not a new problem. You see, the Yirmiyahu is having the same problem, trying to knock some betochen into the balabati. Right? He didn't go. So what did he do? So what's Yirmiyahu going to do? Hoytzilem tzintzenes hamon. He'll go and he'll take out the tzintzenes mon. Omalem ma'eichen. Omalem atem ruhu dvar Hashem. The pasuk says, you saw the dvar Hashem. Lo shamu, lo nema la ro. You didn't hear about it, you saw it. Yeah, look, here's the mon, you can see it for yourself. We only heard about the mon. He showed them, you can see it. B'zen is farnes sa'va seichem. With this, your ancestors were sustained. Har b'shluchim yesh lo lamakim lahachin mozen l'reyov. Rashi adds as some seemingly unconnected statement. Har b'shluchim, there are many messengers that Hashem has to provide food for those that fear him. I'm quoting a mechilta here. So the kasha on this Rashi is, and on Yirmiyahu l'maisi, if I was one of those balabatim, you know what I would have said to Yirmiyahu? What's the kasha on Yirmiyahu? Where did you get that mon from? From a museum. You had to go into the Beis Hamikdash, you had to open up the Aron HaKodesh, you had to take out a little bottle of mon. Why? Because there's no mon falling today. It's very nice. When you looked in the mint one, there was man, beside it, but there's no man falling today. I've got to go to work. That's what I would have said to Yirmiyahu. You think you know what's going on? You're supposed to be a novel. You don't understand how business works. You know nothing. What's the taina? What's Yirmiyahu's teret to them? Habashluchim, Lamachim, Lahakim, Lahachim, Mozin, Lerayim. You're right. There's no man falling today. But Hashem has many different ways to give food to somebody who has a bit of Yerushalayim. Huh? I tell you what Rashi says, the Mechilta. Quinn doesn't have Yerushalayim Adana? You see that Hashem feeds everybody. Dunno. Okay, you're asking good, it's a Mechilta. You're asking a good kasha, Adana, it's a kasha on the Mechilta. I'm telling you what this says. But that's what Rashi's telling you. You've got to go to, that's exactly what we did here. You've got to go to Pasha Saman and you've got to learn it well. Then you got to know, there's no one falling today. We live in a world of Nista. We don't live in a world of Nigla. We live in a world of Tzadik Viralo. We don't live in a world of Tzadik Vitovlo where everything just goes. How did the mon work? The bigger a Tzadik you were, the closer the mon fell to your house. Tzadik Vitovlo. Today, the biggest restraint may have the money falling into their homes. They don't have to go to work. And the biggest Tzadikim have to eke out a living to get a loaf of bread. Tzadik Viralo. Exactly the opposite. But the vote is, you've got to go to Pasha Saman, learn it, mechazik it. Why is it a segula for Panasa? Because you'll get some betochen, you'll learn. Haba shluchim lamakim, the same as Hashem gave us mon there. He'll give us food today. Go through Baal Chinafshi, we said Baal Chinafshi the morning, go read it. It's also a big chizuk in this area. How do you know you become a bit of a Baal betochen when everyone starts calling you a meshugana? It's the biggest compliment they can give you. You learn the whole morning and you don't go to work? Are you mad? Well, what's going to be? You don't have rachmanis on your children? What are they going to eat? You meshugana? You don't work on Shabbos? How do you do? I don't understand. You don't trade on Yom Kippur? What are you talking about? You know what's going on? Yeah, they start calling you meshugana. Then you know you're getting someone in this game. Anyway. Haklala eilahu shechay emunah betochen heim v'rak heim mahavin aruven lishalvas hanefesh rogiah. Starts off the Shara Betochen with this. He deals with the Ika Toeles, the Ika Mochus of Betochen, and only in Betochen in Hashem. There's nothing else that can give you this. Only in Betochen Hashem will ultimately Muchrach bring you tranquility and calmness. There's nothing else in the world that can give a person Menuchas HaNefesh and Yishuv HaDa'as like Betochen in Hashem. Kashiyudi Tzoyd beBetochen ubeTmimus. And a person walks with Betochen, with wholeness, understanding. Yad beyad im HaKadosh Baruch Hu machshavoysa v'tchinoysa v'mekabolos es ha'izun anochon. Then the way a person functions in this world gets the correct balance. He doesn't emphasize things that shouldn't be emphasized. He emphasizes things that should be emphasized. He runs to Olam Haba. He doesn't spend that much time on Olam Hazeh. He gains a whole new sense of balance and purpose. V'yodaya ki tafkidoi lishtadel v'sulo midi. He knows just to make ishtadlis, the minimum ishtadlis he needs to make, whatever that is. I feel the klalim which we've learned here. And no more. Ma shemegiya lo yavo liyodav b'kol oifen. What comes to him, whether it's not or not. Uma shelo magiya lo, lo yagiya liyodav. Gam im hofach es ha'ela. What's not coming to you, you can turn the world upside down, it ain't coming to you. I have a donor in South Africa. Mad story. I have a donor in South Africa. I've been seeing him for years. I've known him since I was 3. It's not like he's angry with me. We're good friends. Became a very wealthy guy. I go see him every year. We always have a fight about how much he's giving me. I usually get less than I want. And he gives me more than he wants to give me. All the time we do it the Middle Eastern way, you know. You give me a little bit, I ask for a lot. We meet somewhere in the middle. Yeah. And usually within a day or two, the money's in my account. I left South Africa before Rosh Chodesh Nissan. I don't think you're Rosh Chodesh Nissan. We're now Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Right? Still got the money. I've spoken to him 3 times. Oh, you're right. It's just my secretary's been away. I'm gonna do the transfer today. The money still hasn't come in. He hasn't sent the money yet. I've been doing this for 20 years. I know my business. It's never happened before. 3 days, the longest I've ever had to wait. Over a month, the money hasn't come in. I'm turning the world upside down. You know, the guy gets a message from me every day. No, what's happening? He phones me the other day. You're being a nudnik. I said, yeah, where's my money? You know, I don't need you. I need your bucks. Where are you? Whatever. Yeah, you're right. Oh, jeez, I feel terrible. And I'm going to do it now. Just send me the details. Send me the details. We're talking nonsense. You know, you've got the details. I sent you the details a week ago, a year ago, 20 years ago. Nothing's changed. You think the money's come in? Akash Bokhul said, you're not getting the money, you're not getting the money. No, it's not coming in, it's not coming in. You can't understand it. Hashem has decided there's not for him to give right now, there's not for me to get right now. The guy does himself doesn't know why he's not saving it.
That's a problem. What you are doing, though. If you want to insist me, what you continue to like you receive it, yes.
Hashem is good. Go borrow, go ask somebody else maybe. I don't know. Maybe this guy doesn't have the schus to give right now. I don't know. But there's cheshbon shemaim, that's for sure. There's not but there. No, you get people. There are people who will promise you there's a guy. 11 years. 11 years. I stopped. I don't bother with the guy anymore. Promised me. I made a meeting with him in his office. Told me, I love what you're doing, it's fantastic, you're going to get a nice donation, $180, I'll give you a proper donation, this guy tells me. He still haven't got the money, it's 11 years ago. I found him Erev Yom Kippur, Erev Rosh Hashanah, that year, I found him, I saw him after Shavuos, Erev Rosh Hashanah, I found the guy. You think I'm going to go through Rosh Hashanah not keeping my word? I promised you the money, you'll have the money, just send me your details again, because I probably lost them or whatever. This is 11 years ago, I still haven't got the money. You get people like that. You get people like that, they don't like saying no. Canadians. Everyone knows. Canadians don't like saying no. Whatever's called my ishtadlis. Uh-huh. In other words, it goes back to fundraising for a moiset and doing mitzvah is different. The different cheshbonus in the ishtadlis. Rabbi Tisiao mentions it, that it's not begetting ishtadlis. It's begetta oisek b'mitzvahs. You have to make more than you would normally make. But you get to the point where you realize this guy's messing you around. You're not going to get, especially if it's in, I mean, I suppose I shouldn't speak with Canadians, but I think it's well known that Canadians don't like saying no.
Canadians are the South African Canadians or the Canadians.
The Canadians don't like saying no. It's a well-known thing, okay? Am I right? And doing business with them can be quite frustrating as a result of that, because the guy won't say no. He'll say, I'm thinking about it, come and see me, call me back next week. And he can drag your pop for days. I mean, I've spoken to guys in business there, it can drive you mad. So in my business, that's the default position with guys who are not Canadian. So Canadians, it's even worse. But yeah. Just say no. You know? Just kick me out your office. Guys do that. I like that, because then I know where I stand. You spend hours phoning and trying. Eventually you just realize, hey. As Rosh Hashiva told me, I phoned 3 times. I don't get to the guy, I don't get the bucks, I don't bother anymore. I feel I have to do more than that.
How do you know that's enough? When do you know it's enough?
It's a person. It's a personal thing. It depends.
Maybe the fourth time you would get it.
Once again, I know that I'm going to get it even if I don't make these shtabas. That's number one. Number two is why you make shtabas. You were away, I don't know, you were here for the last 2 breakfast shiur that I spoke at on the Topin and the Shtadlis? Oh, so once again, the Shtadlis is not about getting the money. The Shtadlis is about you protecting your Topin. In other words, have I made enough Shtadlis that if the check never comes, I don't feel, wait, I should have made another call. In other words, in this particular say, once again, it's not a good example, but you two, let's just say this is functioning according to the rules of Shtadlis. But fundraising doesn't work according to the general rule, but let's say it does. Is you know that the check's going to come or it's not going to come whether you make the call or not. It's irrelevant. Right? You saw the guy, he said he's sending the money. That's it. I don't have to keep bugging the guy. When he shouldn't be sending the money, he'll send me the money. But I feel I need to make some ishtadlis. Why am I making more ishtadlis? Because I need to get to the point where if the money doesn't come, I'm not going to have regrets and say, I should have made another call. I have to have done enough ishtadlis that I can get a bed tonight. No, I've done everything. The money doesn't come. So my betochen's not being affected. I once had a case. There's a guy that sends me money every Erev Pesach. That's his time. He knows that Pesach's a lachat's time. It also is a big segulin. Doctor Erev Pesach. He sends me a nice donation every Erev Pesach. But he usually works with him according to the Goyisha months. It's usually like the end of April. Last year Pesach was a little bit earlier. So the end of April was already after Pesach. So I wanted to let him know that I wanted the money before Pesach. So I sent him an email saying, do you think the money will be coming before Pesach or whatever? So I got an email from his secretary saying, if you haven't got the money by the end of April, get in touch with us. You can see he's done some fundraising. You have to learn the language. Basically, stop bugging me. You'll get your money when you want, but don't bug me. So I thought, you know what? I've got betochen, I'll hold on. Now you asked a very good question, so I have to answer it. So I said, hang on, I'm not going to make any more shtadlis in there. I said it. A week before Pesach, the money hasn't come, I'm starting to panic. We're talking about a substantial amount of money, and I've got it whole, and I know what to do. So I zapped off an email. And I felt like such an idiot making the email. It was like, why are you? You know that it's all up to Hashem. The next day, the money hits my account. The money hits my account. Fine. No nissim because he got the email and he did the transfer straight away. It comes in straight away. Anyway. But I felt like a twit for making ishtadlis. So I went to a Rav. There's a certain Talmud Chochem that I learned in Yoni B'tochen. So I went to him and I said to him, I told him the story. He said, in the world of ishtadlis, you did the right thing. You did the right thing. Because had that money not come, you would have had charata while I sent the email. He said, but let me ask you something. Do you know if he saw the email or not? Who says he got the email? I was like, a shoot to the email. The money was coming anyway. There's nothing you could have done. I felt like an idiot. The money came straight away. It would have been there anyway. It couldn't have come any other late or any earlier. My email didn't do anything. He said, Nechnemi, the email was for you. It wasn't for you. You needed to send that email because that was your ishtad that was needed. The fact that you were on the edge and panicking and you not sent it, that had not come, you would have had charata. That's how you know how much you've done this to make. Trial and error. A lot of trial and error in this game. Right?
Yeah. Someone's promised you money. He's coming upon you to get the money from
that. He's over in a virus. So how many times do I have to warn him? 3 times could be. Could be that's his cheshbon. How many times do you have to ask God for mechila? 3 times.
Yeah.
Don't have to warn him more than 3 times. Mitzvah to choche, how many times? Could be that's where this Rosh Hashiva got his three times from. It was more than three times, I don't have to... Don't know.
Thanks for
reminding me. Oh, you see?
Square.
Hint. A good chaydesh with Hatzlocha and Brocha.
Amen.
So I want to tell you a story. I'll tell you a story quickly. You're in a hurry. Just give me 2 minutes. I've got to tell you a story. We have family that I haven't seen, I'll tell you now, close to 50 years, called the Fransmans. So when you gave me John G. Fransman's name, it didn't ring a bell, but it kind of... Fransman, I wonder, you know, but I didn't spend too much time on it because it's far-fetched, right? Anyway, I found up John G. Fransman. He says, come and see me. So I go to his rooms there where his brother, you know where he works. Yeah, he says, whatever. Yeah. I go in there and looks out. And he looks exactly... One of the Fransmans was the parents who are my parents' contemporary. We were both niffed already. And they had a bunch of kids. There were twins, and there was a... One of them was Malcolm, who I was very close with. He was quite a bit older than me. He was like my hero. He was a Wildechaya. He was a Meshuggah. He always had fars. He had a Mustang. And he was one of these wild... I was a little kid, so he was like my hero. He was a good few years older than me. Whatever. I must have been 8, 9. He was about 18, 19, whatever. This guy walks out, and he's the splitting image of Malcolm. I haven't seen Malcolm in 50 years. So as he walks up to me, I said to him, without even saying hello to him, I said, are you related to Malcolm Fransman? He said, he's my uncle. He's my dad's brother. I was like, wow. So now I'm like, you know, because we used to go to their house every Sunday. They used to come to us every Sunday. We were very, very, very close. But this kid knows nothing. So I started asking him, you know, how's your dad? His dad's one of the twins or whatever. He says, my dad will be in a few minutes.
Okay.
And 2 minutes later, the old boy walks in. So I don't obviously recognize him. So his son says to him, Dad, the Rabbi Shur says he knows you, whatever. So he says, who are you? I say, you don't recognize me. The guy hasn't seen me 50 years. But anyway, when I told him who I was, he was so excited. He remembered my folks, but he couldn't remember me. He didn't remember me. I knew that much, right? Because he was an older brother. But he remembered my parents. Was always so excited. Anyway, so he spent about half an hour schmoozing and talking. So that's what I said.
Amazing.
Shkach for the...
Yeah.
For the... But I told you, it wasn't a story that you had to... that, interesting. Because I think about Malcolm quite a bit, you know.